come on in, come on in. There we go. Hey, good morning and welcome to Christ Community Church. We're so glad that you're here today, and we look forward to hearing the Word, about hearing a ministry about the Word, and singing our praises to God. But I want to share with you from the book of Psalms. Part of my goal today is that we would worship, that we'd be inspired by the Word of God to worship. And sometimes we just need to hear one of those psalms that leads in worship. Psalm 146 says this: Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. While I live, I will praise the Lord. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being. Do not put your trust in princes, nor in a son of man in whom there is no help. His spirit departs, he returns to his earth. In that very day his plans perish. Happy is he who's the God of Jacob for his help, who has the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God, who made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, who keeps truth forever, who executes justice for the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry. The Lord gives freedom to the prisoners. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord raises those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over the strangers. He relieves the fatherless and the widow, but the way of the wicked he will turn upside down. The Lord shall reign forever. Your God, O Zion, to all generations, praise the Lord. Y'all wonder if we can practice saying praise the Lord one time. Let's try that out on three. Ready? One, two, three. Praise the Lord. Hey, that wasn't half bad. I mean, we might can go on the road. Say, hey, we're the Christ Community Church Choir. What do y'all say? One, two, three.
Praise the Lord.
That's it. We pack up our bags and we go. You know, that wouldn't be half bad. I'm going to invite my wife Sarah up. She's got an announcement to make, and then we're going to pray and get going. So I'm going to give her the handheld mic.
Okay, we have...
I'm going to give her the handheld mic.
Just a couple of announcements. This Saturday coming up, we have a church anniversary fun day. The women's ministry is sponsoring this. So on Saturday, starting at 11, going till question mark, we are going to have indoor and outdoor games. This is an honor, a celebration of our 18th anniversary as the church. We will have horseshoes, volleyball, outside fun games, but we're also going to have board games on the inside, probably a table with a puzzle, fun stuff on the inside, and then we're going to have concessions. So we will have hot dog, pizzas, popcorn, and drinks. Okay, so come prepared for that on Saturday. On Sunday, we are having a potluck after church. So you know how to do that. Make sure we have food. Okay, there is a sign-up sheet in the back. You don't have to write down what you're bringing, but if you would sign your name saying that you will bring something so that we know that we'll have food for the potluck. And then the other last thing I have is, women, if you have ordered a t-shirt, we need the money as soon as possible. It is $20 per shirt. We do have a few extras. If you are interested and you did not order a shirt, we have a few extra sizes available, so tell me what you want. I'll let you know if we have it available. Thank you.
Amen. Woo! Very nice. We have a privilege. Gideon's visiting us this morning from Kosciuszko, and they've been with us since 9 o'clock in the morning. So they've been through Sunday school. They've been through all these things, and they're cool. They're cool brothers. We've traded our Gideons, who are usually here, and they're out at somebody else's church, and we get them in. They're going to share with us about the Gideon ministry. And before they come up, I'm going to pray. But I just want to share a little bit of my heart concerning the Gideon ministry. You're hard-pressed to find a ministry that is has more integrity about the money that they raise. When these guys collect money, it goes to the buying of Bibles. That's it. These guys pay out of their own pocket to distribute the Bibles, to visit churches. They're not being paid. They don't get reimbursed for mileage. They don't get reimbursed for anything. They're here out of their free will to tell us about what the Word of God is doing throughout the world, and it's a pretty awesome thing. So I'm going to pray for us, and then I'm going to invite Brother Frank and y'all come on up and do what you do. This microphone will be here. I'm going to turn it on for you, and let me pray. Father God, thank you for loving us. Thank you for this opportunity that we have to gather together, and we want to hear the ministry of the Word. The Word of God is powerful and living, sharper than any two-edged sword. The Word of God is that which has the seed that makes us born again when it's mixed with faith. And so, Father, we know how important it is. We know many people in this world don't have it and wouldn't have it without the ministry of the Gideon. So would you show us, as Christ Community Church, how we might be involved? Lord, we love you, and we give you all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Let me just say this while Frank's coming up. At the end of the service, we're going to take... after the sermon, we're going to take up an offering, our regular offering for the church, and then we're going to take up an offering for the Gideon's ministry. So you just be asking God what he would have you to give. Right? Thank you, brother.
Good morning. My name is Frank Criswell. I'm a member of the Gideon's International in Kosciuszko, Mississippi. I have been blessed to be a member of this organization. Gideons are born again Christian, business and professional men, member of a local church. When I say we, I mean Jesus, you the church, and the Gideons. Since 1899, our purpose has been to share the gospel around the world and to win others to our Lord Jesus Christ. What would you say to a 12-year-old child that walked up to you and asked you what that cross on your lapel or what the cross on your necklace, what it meant? This happened to a teacher in Philadelphia, Mississippi named Marsha Stokes. Marsha is teaching in a public school, and they had got an exchange tutor from China to come, and she was in Martha's class. And Martha had a wooden cross on her desk that she kept there all the time. This little girl named was Su Ling, she said, "Why do you worship a wooden cross?" She says, "I don't worship a wooden cross. I worship a Savior who has risen from the dead. That cross is just a symbol that my Savior gave his life on a cross for my sins." Marsha asked her, did she want to know about her Jesus? And she says, "Well, my family worships Buddha." She said, "I wouldn't mind hearing what he does." And so Marsha told her 3 days a week for an hour, she could help her with studying God's Word. So the first day they got started, Marsha brought a Bible like this. She gave it to Sue, and through that school year, they read and studied. Sue finally gave her life to Jesus. When she went back home about a month after that, Marsha got a letter telling Sue that her mother and her two sisters had got saved with that same Bible that she did. The reason Gideons visit church congregations is to let you know we are in partnership with believers like you around the world. The United States has become the third largest mission field in the world. Brothers and sisters, we need to tell others about our Lord. As I went to a church in Cleveland, Mississippi, I went in and came down and sat down. And after the church service had started, this lady came in from the back on a walker. She sat down on the back row. When the church service was over and they gave an invitation, she came down to where I was standing and she said, "I have a testimony that I want to tell you, and I also want to ask for your forgiveness. I said, you already got my forgiveness. She said, I did something that I'm ashamed of to the Gideons. She said, about 2 months ago, she was in the hospital, and when she left, she didn't know Jesus. And she said, I put this Bible in my suitcase and carried it home. She said, I read it. I gave my life to Jesus one Sunday morning here in this church. She said, I want you to put it back. I said, no problem. I can do that. She said, you're going to do it today? I said, yes, ma'am, I'll do it today. So after we went back to where we met, and I told the Gideons about her, she said, they said, well, don't worry about it. Said, we're going to put Bibles in next week, and it won't be but a week. I said, no, I told her I'd do it. So we left, went to the hospital. I went in, told the nurse what I wanted to do, and she said, there's someone in that room. I don't know where I can do that or not. She said, I'll go ask. So she did. In a few minutes, she came back and she said, they said it would be fine for you to come in. She said, come with me and I'll show you. So she went, showed him. When he opened the door and walked in, there sat Dot in the room. She knew her sister-in-law was lost, and she carried the Bible. She wanted me to put it back where her sister-in-law could get saved. Dot said that she tested me to see if I were, and the Gideons, to see if we'd do what we said. I thank the Lord that I went and done this. Our goal by 2020 is to be placing 120 million Bibles a week, a year. There are four ways that you can help the Gideons International. First of all, you can pray for us each day. Second, if you are a born again Christian, business or professional man, you can join the Gideons International. I promise you, you'll be blessed. Third, you can make a cash contribution or a check or however to help us buy Bibles that we place around the world. Fourth, you can use the Gideon card plan, where you can send Bibles in memory of someone, recognition, or just send a Bible saying, I'm praying for you. Brothers and sisters, you don't have to send 5 or 10. You can send one. Your prayers and gifts to the Gideon International enables us to place Bibles in over 190 countries in 90 languages. In fact, we're now distributing on average 1.6 million scriptures every week. In fact, and through ongoing support of you, different people that love the Lord, that wants to see others one to Jesus, by giving to the Gideons, this helps us to buy Bibles. Brother and sister, we can't do it without you. You're a big part of us. We are servants of you, the church, of Jesus, and I come today thanking you for having a Gideon in your church, thanking Brother Warren, Brother John for the time, and thanking you, the church, for letting us come. Brothers and sisters, you have something here that a lot of churches don't have. There's a love here. There's a love here for the Lord, for each other. You got to love each other to become a church. I thank you for the time you give me. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I come thanking you for this day, thanking you for this church, its pastor, every member, dear Lord, that the love they have in their heart for each other. I lift them up. I pray for the lost, dear Lord, that today will be the day someone will receive you as their Lord and Savior. If there's any here, I ask that this happens today, dear Lord. I ask these things in your holy name. Amen.
Okay, all right. We're going to get started in worship. And y'all, listen, we have one audience member. We're a choir singing to the Lord. And if you don't get that right, we'll do that again and again, as many times as we need to. But God's our audience. We worship Him. Amen? Amen. Nobody beside Him, no one other than Him. He's the one on our target. Please take advantage of this opportunity. We're here to let go of thinking about what other people think about me, what do I think about other people, and let's put our mind on God, lift up our voices, lift up our hearts, and really praise Him. Right? We're not here just to be the audience. We're here to participate as part of a choir, lifting our voices to God. Amen? Okay, so let me pray for us. We're going to do that. Lord, receive our praise. You are worthy, O God, and we give you all the praise and the glory to your name. We love you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Good morning. Loud, at least my end was. I was watching TV last night on a public broadcasting station. One of the Gaither homecoming reunions was on, and I love watching that. But there's a lady got up. I don't know her name. She was singing a song. It's sort of up-tempo blues style. It's all right to praise Jesus. Here at Christ Community Church, it's all right to praise Jesus. Sometimes we ask y'all to stand during certain songs. If you want to stand, don't wait for us to ask. If you want to lift your arms up and praise our Lord, do it. We're here to praise our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This song we're going to start with is Jesus Messiah. He is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Thank you.
There is grace that forgives. I think after that, we ought to practice our singing again. What do y'all think? Remember what it is? Praise the Lord, right? One, two, three.
Praise the Lord.
We are good. I'm just telling you, we're good at this. We're all right. That's all right. We're going to be
continuing our worship series. And we're talking today about His Word on worship. And y'all, we just need to know this. The church has a worship book. It's not a hymnal. It's not the latest book from the latest worship leader in some trendy, fashionable church. It's not something that we get advertised on K-Love. It's not the latest CD and the latest thing. The church has a worship book. You know, the Scripture is the church's worship book. I mean, this is the revelation that God has given us in written form that tells us about who He is, about what He does, about why He's worthy of worship, even how to worship. And it gives us examples after examples. And so today, we're just going to take and look at the Word, and what I hope, we can't ever just make this happen just because we want to, but what I hope is that we have an experience. That we have an experience as we hear the Word of God, that we'll say, yeah, you know what? He is worthy of worship. Yeah, you know what? I'm going to be a worshiper. Yeah, you know, I need to know that. I need to take that information that I got from the Word of God, the worship book of the Lord, and I need to apply that in my life right now. I hope that's what we have today. I don't have any fancy illustrations. I don't have any really clever things to try to get you to see things this way or that way. I'm just going to tell you from His Word what it says on worship. The first point is that I'm going to give you the first word and the last word on worship from the Bible. The first time that the word worship is used in the Scripture is over in Genesis chapter 22 and verse 5. In Genesis chapter 22, verse 5, a man named Abraham is told by God that he needs to take his son, a son of promise, a special son, that he needs to take him where the Lord's going to show him. He needs to sacrifice that son. I can't imagine the turmoil that happened in the heart of Abram that night. But I'm going to tell you, the end result is that he worshiped. And I forgot to dismiss some of the kiddos. Do we still have kiddos here who need to be dismissed? Nani's class? Do they need to go out? Somebody help me. No? Yes? Nani's class. Do y'all need to go out? I don't even see a Nani in here. I see a nanny, but not a nanny. She's already out. Praise God. I forgot something that I didn't even forget. That's how that worked out. But in Genesis chapter 22, in verse 5, we see the special born son. We see God telling Abraham, you need to take that son and you need to take him to the place I'm going to show you. You need to sacrifice that son in my name. God didn't ask that of anybody else throughout the Scripture. This is a unique instance. But I'm going to tell you what happened. It led to a time of worship. In verse 5, when that word worship comes up, Abraham tells the young men who are with him, he says, the lad and I, Isaac and I, we're going to go up to the mountain over here, over yonder, and we're going to worship. And he goes, and you all know the story. Abraham takes Isaac, and they got the wood, they got the fire, and they got the knife. And Isaac says, Father, I see all the ingredients to a good sacrifice and worship time, but where's the lamb? And Abraham says, God will provide what we need. And they go to that mountain, he straps them down, and it's a frightening scene. And Abraham gets so far, he's got the knife up here. He's ready to sacrifice this beloved son, and God says, no, hold on, stop, don't harm the boy. I just wanted to see where your heart was. Now, God didn't do this to the rest of us. Praise God. But let me tell you something. He showed Abraham, and he shows us what worship was. Abraham did not hold anything back from God. Well, I know what worship's like. The first word on worship is this. God, you are the one who gave me my son. You are the one who gives me my very life and everything precious. So it's all yours. Whatever it is you want me to do. That's the first word on worship. Of course, we know what happened. God provides. God doesn't sacrifice Abraham's son Isaac. Isaac becomes one of the patriarchs of Israel. God provides a ram caught in the thicket in the same place thousands of years later where the Lamb of God is going to himself be sacrificed. God gave up his son for us that we might really know that he's worthy of worship. That's part of that revelation. The last word on worship is in Revelation chapter 22 and verse 9. In that passage, the Apostle John is having a discussion. An angel is talking to the Apostle John. Very last chapter in all the Bible. He's talking about the testimony of Jesus Christ. He's talking about the revelation that God gave him. Caught up in the moment, the Apostle John falls down before the angel to worship the angel. And the angel, with a grimace on his face, doesn't say that in the Bible, but I imagine he had a grimace on his face, said, "See to it that you don't do that. I'm not but your fellow servant of those who hold the testimony of Jesus Christ. Don't you worship anybody but God." The last reference to worship in the whole Bible says this: worship God. Don't you fall down before anybody else. Don't you bow low before anybody else. You worship God, and Him alone shall you serve. That's the first and the last word on worship in the Bible. Y'all, we get to that point where we're not holding anything back, and we won't fall down and bow down before anybody but God. I'm going to tell you something. It's going to do something to your worship. That's living a life of worship. And when we come together to sing, we won't have to even be reminded that we're singing on to one audience member and we're all the choir, because we already know we don't bow down and worship and lift up our voice to anyone but the King of Kings, to anyone but the one who died for us. He alone is worthy of our praise. Isn't that all right? I think that's all right. Jesus encounters a woman in John chapter 4. In John chapter 4, Jesus encounters a woman. He's in a woman of Samaria, a woman who's just like all of us, a woman with a past, right? We always make a whole lot to do of her past, but we all got a past. Just look behind you. Open the closet door. Let the bones fall out for a minute. Oh, I guess we all got one of those. He's talking to her and he's sharing with her, and he gives her this insight because she's confused. What? She just worships the way her family always worshiped. She was taught this is how you worship. Her people, her family taught this is how you worship. And she knew that the Jews, that they said something different. They said this is how you worship. And she brought this to Jesus. And Jesus says, "Let me tell you something." And this we need to hear. "The hour is coming, and now is, when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship Him. God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and truth." Just to give us a little key, in John 17:17 it says this: "Your word is truth." When we worship God, we don't just do it with all our guts and all our emotion and all our personality. It's not just about us. There's a spirit involved. Of course there is. It's a spiritual thing. God is spirit. God gives of us His spirit. And so we worship in spirit, but it's informed by the truth of the Word of God. It's informed by the revelation of who God is and why He's worthy of worship. It's not just an emotional outbreak where we start doing all the dancing and things. Although there's nothing wrong with that. We can do some dancing like the hedge clipper dance. Hoo, 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 hoo. The lawnmower or the weed eater dance. We can do all that stuff. That's fine. The zero turn. We can do all this business. But we need to worship God because our minds, our hearts, and our souls have been informed by the truth of God's Word. So we say, "Yeah, I know why I worship." Let me tell you, somebody who's informed by the truth of God's not going to be talked out of the truth of God. They're not going to be duped. We're not going to be hoodwinked. We're going to say, "I know why I worship God. I know why I don't substitute the name Jesus for any other name. I know why He is who He is and why I lift up my heart, my hands, my voice to Him. Because I've been trained, I've come to know the truth of the Word of God." You don't have to be a theologian. You don't have to be a scholar. Man,
even just to know some of what we sang, Jesus Messiah, name above all names. You know, a worship song is only as good as it clings to the truth of the Word of God. Y'all know that? I mean, we can get some rocking tunes out there. You know, you can get some stuff that's really good. But if it doesn't stick to the truth, then it doesn't qualify for being in spirit and truth. Y'all get what I'm saying? Worship songs are only good as far as they capture the truth of God. Jesus Messiah. Messiah is that title. It means in the Greek it's translated as Christ. Jesus the Christ. Name above all names. Man, that sounds familiar to me. Why does that sound familiar to me? Because we can look in the Scriptures and say, and He's been given the name above all names, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, of those that are in heaven, and those that are on earth, and those that are under the earth, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is to the glory of God the Father. See, when we sing these truths and our mind and our heart and our worship and our praise is informed by the truth of God, I believe that's the kind of worship Jesus is talking about. It says the Father is seeking such. Not just those that get riled up. Nothing wrong getting riled up, but are you getting riled up not because of how it makes you feel, but because of who God is based on the truth of His revealed Word. His Word instructing our worship. I'm going to read an extended passage of Scripture. It's not really long. You won't pass out by the end of it, but it's longer than I usually read. But just listen to it. Hear how David in the Psalm 119, verses 97 through 112, listen to how he uses the Word of God to build him up in his mind and his heart, how it builds him up. Oh, how I love your law. It is the meditation, it's my meditation all the day. You, through your commandments, make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients, because I keep your precepts. I have restrained my feet from every evil way that I may keep your word. I have not departed from your judgments, for you yourself have taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through your precepts, I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way. Your word is a lamp to my feet, a light to my path. I have sworn and confirmed that I will keep your righteous judgments. I am afflicted very much, so revive me, O Lord, according to your word. Accept, I pray, the free will offerings of my mouth, O Lord, and teach me your judgments. My life is continually in my hand, yet I do not forget your law. The wicked have laid a snare for me, yet I have not strayed from your precepts. Your testimonies I have taken as a heritage forever, for they are the rejoicing of my heart. I have inclined my heart to perform your statutes forever to the very end. Listen to what he, over and over. I love your word. Your word is sweet to me. Your word has taught me. You've taught me through your word. You revived me through your word. It reminds me of what Paul wrote in 2 Timothy in 3. It says, for all of Scripture is God-breathed. God-inspired, and it's meant to instruct and correct and to rebuke and to train. And here we hear in the Psalms, David being trained by the Word of God. You know, how will we give God His due if we forsake the worship book? How will we ever become a church of mature worshipers if we're not being instructed by the Word of God in order to worship? I don't know about y'all, but when I came to give my life to Christ, when God saved me, it wasn't a nice Hallmark card that I was being shared with. It wasn't a nice story or testimony from another person. The gospel of Jesus Christ from the Word of God was shared with me.
That's when I believed, when I heard the gospel and it was shared, when the word was brought, it instructed me and I was saved. How are we going to grow if we neglect such a great revelation of who God is and we're not instructed by it? David said, all day I meditate on it. I think about it. And he says, keeping your word has made me wiser than my teachers. And I tell you this, there's a lot of really smart, wise, intellectual people in this world full of regret and hardship because they refuse to listen to the revealed word of God. You don't have to have the largest brain, but if you'll listen and heed the word of God, watch how it gets you past so many of the pitfalls of life, how it guards you from your own self. You know, one of the greatest pitfalls that we have is getting big-headed, getting caught up in ourselves, thinking that we're right all the time and who we are. But the Bible, what a wonderful reality check. And it says, baby, you are created and you're a sinner even on top of that. And you need me. It's not me that needs you. And we hear this from the Word of God and it sets us in our place that we don't get too far ahead. Lastly, how the Word, His Word inspires worship. In 1 Chronicles chapter 16. 1 Chronicles is part of the white pages of your Bible where no finger usually touches and sunlight usually, no light at all usually hits it. So they're pristine and clean. And they're in here, I think. Yeah, there it is. Just to set up the scene for this, David is bringing the ark into Jerusalem to rest there. It had been away. You know, the Israelites had thrown it at the enemy, thinking that their salvation was in this furniture, this thing. And then the enemy gave it away because God began to do things. And they just kept it at somebody's house, like in the barn. Like, what do you got in the barn? Oh, it's the Ark of the Covenant. Oh, and the Holy Grail is right next to it. Sure, and a unicorn and a rainbow. And you know, it was like, it was an amazing thing. And they finally say, we've got to get the ark back. And David has it on his heart. We need that to be in Jerusalem. It needs to be here. And he was passionate about it. And they're bringing the ark in. Even though they had trial and it wasn't easy because they weren't following the word of God. And they experienced some hardship, but they finally are bringing it. And as they're bringing it, David is just, he's dancing. He's worshiping God. All of Jerusalem is with him. Can you imagine a scene? It's like they're finally setting things right. From the top down even. You know, the king is there. Everybody's there. They're all glad. It's such a good day. It's such a jubilant day. You know, we had the Jubilee yesterday, but you know, you walk around that thing and people got sunburned. I don't know how jubilant it was, but can you imagine? You imagine every hindrance, every obstacle to your joy being removed and you just being able to praise God. It's a heavenly scene. One day in heaven, it'll be like that. Every obstacle, every sin, every regret, every dark spot on your brain, that those memories that are there that keep you from experiencing the joy that God has for you through the Holy Spirit being removed. And on earth, this scene is about as close as you can get. But I just want you to hear it. And you can hear and be inspired to say, yeah, that's right. I can see that day. I can imagine that day when our worship is unhindered. Here it is, starting in verse 23. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Proclaim the good news of His salvation day to day. Declare His glory among the nations, His wonders among all the peoples. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is also to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the people are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Honor and majesty are before Him. Strength and gladness are in His place. Give to the Lord, O families of the peoples. Give to the Lord glory and strength. Give to the Lord the glory due His name. Bring an offering and come before Him. O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Tremble before Him, all the earth, The world also is firmly established. It shall not be moved. Let the heavens rejoice, and let the earth be glad, and let them say among the nations, the Lord reigns. Let the sea roar and all its fullness, and let the field rejoice and all that is in it. Then the trees of the woods shall rejoice before the Lord, for he is coming to judge the earth. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, and his mercy endures forever. And say, save us, O God, for our, O God of our salvation. Gather us together and deliver us from the Gentiles to give thanks to your holy name, to triumph in your praise. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel from everlasting to everlasting. And the people of Christ Community Church said,
amen.
And then they said, one, two, three, praise the Lord. We've got to work on that one. Oh, when we get into God's Word, I mean, did you hear some of that? God is great. You think on that. What's God's greatness about? Well, he's great because he made the heavens and the earth. But he's also great because he saved a sinner like me. I give him thanks. It's his salvation he offered. I was the sinner, the offender, the criminal, the one who broke the law of God. He has been the gracious Savior and Redeemer who offered his plan for salvation. My plan for salvation looks like I'll be a better person. I'll eat more vegetables. I'll pick up trash and I'll help old ladies get across the street in the big city. I'll do enough good works until I finally can get there. That's my plan. That plan don't work for nobody. The only plan that works is God's plan. And he put his son out there and said, let me tell you, this is how it works. Will you trust me? Will you believe in my word as I revealed it to you? Jesus Christ did not die in vain. He died because God is good, greatly to be praised. His mercy endures forever. And we ought to say praise the Lord more often. And if you get into his word, you see these things and they fill you up. They fill you up. Have you been getting filled up on the Word of God? Have you seen how great he is through his revealed Word? It's not a mystery. We'd like to look at life and make it so mysterious. There are mysteries to life. I'm a married man with children. I know there are mysteries. Mysteries to which I will never have answers. And I know to some I am a mystery to whom there is no answer. But I know this too. God is good. That's no mystery. God loves you. That's no mystery. God has a purpose for your life, my life, and every life. God has something for you. God gave his son that you might live. He took our sin on his cross. He rose from the dead, and he's coming back. God is good. Amen?
Amen.
One, two, three.
Praise
now, we're going to have a time of invitation. It might be that you'll say to yourself, I've let myself become empty. I've relied on my own plan of salvation, my own plan of works, my own plan of filling myself up, that everything really is about me. It's very me-centered. I hope that part of the experience maybe you had today in hearing from the Word is to realize that we ought to worship God, that he is the one that ought to be out front and up on top of everything we do and say, especially when we come to worship, especially when it comes to understanding who he is, that he's number one. He's on top of all things. And so if for some reason in your life, whatever that reason, he has not had that top spot, if you've got a priority and Christ is not your priority, God is not your priority, you've got another priority that rules your world, that makes you go, that makes you stay, that makes you speak, and makes you shut up. If there's something other than God and the priority of your life, maybe today you'll say, I want to yield my life. I want to surrender my life to God because he's worthy of that top spot, because he's worthy of all my worship. This time right now is for you. We're going to have a song of invitation. You come now. Father, thank you for how you love us. I pray right now in the name of Jesus that you would just work in us, draw those who need you. Father, if there's any lost here, anybody who would say, I just don't know them, Father, that you would draw them. But if there's any of your children, those who know you here, but they have given that top spot away. Maybe they thought that they couldn't lose you, so they didn't have to attend to you. Maybe they were felt so secure in you that they felt like neglecting you wouldn't be that bad. Father, if that's the case, would you draw us back? Bring us to that place of worship where you have first place. We love you, Lord, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
My heart longs for the treasure and the hunger. I've tasted and I must have more of your presence, God.
Amen. We are going to take up an offering. We're going to take up an offering, our regular tithes and offering for the church, for Christ Community Church. And this is for members. If you're a visitor, we're not here to take your money. We're not here to take what you have. We believe in God. God provides our needs through our members. You're welcome to give, but I just want to let you know we're not bringing you here to fleece you. We're glad that you're here. But we're going to have our time of offering for the church. And then the ushers are going to come back a second time. And they're going to take up an offering for the Gideon ministry. We heard the testimony at the beginning. But, y'all, listen. We want to be a part. If you know the Lord, let me just tell you this. You want to be a part of getting the Word of God out into the world. You want to be. Okay? You might not know everything there is about this ministry, but you want to be a part of that. Okay, so just pray and say, Lord, what would you have us to give? What would you have me to give? And I'm going to pray for us right now as the ushers come forward. As the usher comes forward. Okay, there I was like, we're going to need some help. Thank y'all. We're going to go through the first time, regular tithes and offering, and then next for the Gideons. Father God, thank you for loving us. Thank you for this opportunity that we have to be a part of what you're doing in this world.
Father, I pray that it may be said that your kingdom is not underfunded because of us. We want to be a part. We want to be thankful. We want to use what you've given us to be a part of something that's eternal, that's forever, that's glorifying to you. Thank you for the opportunity. We love you, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. God is great and greatly to be praised. If you're going to make write a check for the Gideons, make it out to Gideons International. Is that right? Just make it out to Gideons International. But when you're thinking about, and that song is just one of the great songs that we do find in the hymn book. But think about what we just read. God is great and greatly to be praised. See, that song sticks to the revealed Word of God. It has a high view of who God is. And when we worship, we should have no one anywhere else in the universe close to who we see God being and who God is to us. It's who He is. He's awesome. He's our awesome, awesome God. Thank you. It's kind of like a, almost like one of those machines that they have in there, shock you awake every once in a while. Let me remind you, I know Sarah said it before, but look, one, let me remind you, Wednesday we have service. There's something for everybody. We've been looking at things that aren't worthy to worship on Wednesday night, but you come at 6:30. But this Saturday, we're going to have a game day here from 11 o'clock until we get done hanging out together. There's going to be concession for hot dogs, hamburgers, Cokes, and things like that. But y'all, we're going to have some inside games. We're going to have some outside games. We're going to have areas where you can just sit and talk to people who you never get to sit and talk to because church just doesn't last long enough. You understand what I'm saying? We're going to have a big old family get-together hangout this Saturday at 11 o'clock. So come on to that. Hang out with us. And then Sunday is the celebration of our birthday. I'm going to wrap it up. But if you thought Christ Community Church was weird, let me just remind you, we're not but 18 years old. And you were probably pretty weird too when you were 18. All right? You probably did and said some things that made people go, I'm not sure about that. We're just a teenager still. We just now get to vote. All right? And so it's really good. Thank you, Miss Kit. Miss Kit was doing jumping jacks back there. This Tuesday morning at 7 o'clock, the Unity Prayer Breakfast is here at Christ Community Church. And you know what's really cool about having the prayer breakfast at your church in the morning? Is when your people from your church show up to the prayer breakfast that morning. Not that we won't pray if it's just a small group. Small groups pray too. But I want to invite you at 7 o'clock Tuesday morning. Miss Kit, in order to get us there, is making her world-famous, world-class biscuits and gravy. We know that prayer might not be all that gets you up in the morning, but prayer and biscuits and gravy. Come on. But y'all, come on out. It's a community-wide thing. You can invite and bring anybody that you want, but please put it on your put it in your mind and say, hey, I'm going to come to that. All right? All right, I think that's it. Look, I love you all. Thank you for letting me be your pastor. Let me pray. Father God, as we go, help us to proclaim the good news of your salvation day by day because you are great and greatly to be praised. We love you, Lord, and we give you all the glory in the name of Jesus. Amen. Ready? Right.